is Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge,
your hometown voice.
And now your host, the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith.
I am the Rogue announcer, Jeff Smith, and this is Rogue Talk for Friday, September 2nd, 2016. We've got a great show for you today. My featured guest today is Rogue River High School alum and NFL hopeful Christian Reyes. We will also make a second attempt to listen to our interview from the volleyball coach at Rogue River High School, Joe Calco, as well as listening to my interview with Jessica Kelleher, the cross-country coach. I had to cut her off a little early last week, and I wanted to get that whole interview out there, so we're going to play that again today. And before we get to our interviews for the day, we've got a few things of local interest to take a look at. In Rogue River School District news, the district has hired a new music teacher to replace Jacob Viscara, who was charged back in June with second-degree sexual abuse, a felony charge, as well as two misdemeanor charges. Lucerne Motaz has 30 years of experience and will take over the music program at Rogue River Junior Senior High School. Also in school news, the former Rogue River Elementary School principal and also the former vice principal and athletic director at the high school, Jennifer Baker, turned in her resignation, and she plans to spend more time with her family. She's got two little ones that have come over the last few years, and she'd like to spend more time with them, so she's turned in her resignation. And in Rogue River City news, on Wednesday, October 31st, that marked the end of a 36-year career in law enforcement for retiring police chief Ken Lewis. Chief Lewis has served as chief for the last 15 years. And in the Rogue River Press, an article on Chief Lewis and on the swearing in of the new chief, City Administrator Mark Regals was quoted as saying that hiring Lewis was one of the best things that he had ever done. And I can't argue with that logic. Chief Lewis has been the chief here for pretty much the entire time I've lived here. He came on in November of 2001, and I moved here that summer, so I pretty much, he's the only chief I've known, and he's really given us a police force that we can be proud of. I don't even know all the changes and improvements that he's made within, you know, the police department, but I know that what I've seen of the police department with my dealings with them over the years, all of them good, by the way. it's just a police force that I'm proud of, and I think the whole town can be proud of. So we want to salute Chief Lewis, and I'm hoping to get Chief Lewis on the show. I haven't been in contact with him yet. His retirement became official this week, and I will be contacting him and hopefully getting him back on Rogue Talk. I know he's appeared in the past on Evan's show when Evan had the Rogue Talk show. And so we'd like to get him back to talk about his retirement and what he's going to do in the future. And also on Wednesday night, they swore in the new chief, and that was veteran Rogue River officer Chris Snyder, who was sworn in as the new chief. And so I'm going to say on behalf of everyone here at Rogue Talk and The Bridge Radio, we'd like to wish both those gentlemen the best of luck in their new chapters, and we'll be supporting you in those endeavors. So now we can move over to some sports news. The girls' soccer opener was canceled. They were supposed to play Thursday against Glide, but Glide could not field a team for Thursday night's game. So that game was canceled. So the girls haven't, other than the Jamboree, a lot of the teams have been in their Jamborees, but the regular game seasons are just getting underway this week. And so the girls' game got canceled. In volleyball action last night, the Chieftain girls went on the road to Prospect Charter, and they lost that contest three sets to one. So not the outcome they were probably looking for. They had a pretty pretty positive experience at the Jamboree, and I'm sure that they were hoping to build on that. And I wasn't able to get out to the game. In fact, I was at the boys' soccer game watching the show mascot, otherwise known as my son Cameron, and so I didn't get to catch that volleyball action. But we'll see how things go going into the future for the volleyball team. And finally, I mentioned the boys' soccer. I was able to make it for most of that game yesterday. That was played at Beck Field, and the opponent was South Umpqua. And the Chieftains cleaned up yesterday. They had an excellent game. They had the shutout 6-0 over South Umpqua, so a great way to start the season for the Chieftain boys. And I got to tell you, they looked really good. I mean, we lost a couple of talented players that graduated last year, but the level of play yesterday, the teamwork, the way that they communicated with one another, it was really fun to watch. That was a better quality of play than I think I saw all of last year. And that's not to take anything away from last year's team. In fact, most of these kids were on last year's team. But for some reason, everything's clicking this year. And probably a part of that is, you know, there's three sets of brothers on this team. And, you know, just the teamwork with them, and most of them actually probably have never played on teams together because the age separation wouldn't have allowed that. But you would think they'd been playing together for years, which they probably have. Just great teamwork and good execution and good communication. And so I'm looking forward to the rest of the season. And so they cleaned up yesterday. And speaking of cleaning up, I don't know about you, but I hate working all day, and I get home and the house is a mess, and I'm like, I don't want to do this. I'm tired, and I don't want to waste my weekend doing it. Well, I've got a solution for you. You need to get in touch with my friend Josephine Miguel. Joe runs L&M Cleaning, and they are a high-quality cleaning service that will tailor their service to your needs. And with L&M, clean is more than appearance. I mean, looking clean is wonderful. Everybody wants their house to look clean. But with L&M, cleaning is also sanitized. Sanitized kitchen, sanitized bath. And again, Joe will tailor her service to what your needs are. She's very reliable, very hardworking, and with 30 years of experience, she's still very reasonable too. So I've known Joe for quite a few years, and I can tell you, you would not regret hiring L&M Cleaning. She can do residential or office, or commercial, I guess you'd say. So get a hold of Joe. You can get a free estimate by calling her at 541-621-2903. Once again, that's 541-621-2903. So get a hold of Joe and she'll take good care of you. So let's move into the interviews. I'm going to play my interview with Coach Calco and Coach Kelleher back-to-back, and then we'll go to the break. And after the break, I will be joined in studio by none other than Christian Reyes. So here's my two interviews, and after the break, we'll talk to Christian.
Heading into the season, Joe, you're our new volleyball coach. Coach DeWolt stepped down from coaching last year, and you're moving in. Now, were you an assistant with Coach DeWolt?
Yeah, I was an assistant this last season.
Okay, so you know some of the girls, and were there any key losses from the seniors that left, and are there any key additions to the team with this freshman class coming up?
No, I wouldn't say so much on the losses side. Incoming freshmen is a pretty good group. The nice thing is that we had a large group that was returning for the varsity side.
Yeah, I saw a lot of girls I recognized, and so that always helps having girls that have played together a little bit. So maybe what are your goals for this season for these girls?
Just trying to kind of work on some of the individual play and kind of work on the team stuff. Being here last season as an assistant coach really helped out as far as looking at this season as the head coach, because I did have a season where I kind of got to know everybody and gave me a good idea kind of what needed to be worked on and what direction to go.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I was watching the practice a little bit before we started this interview, and looks like size might be an issue, which is not unusual for Rogue River teams. Not a lot of size up front for us. How are you going to be able to adjust your style of play to get around that lack of size?
Well, that's something we're still kind of working on figuring that out. We have a little different system this season that we're going to run. So we've been focusing on that and made a few little adjustments in where people are as far as positions go. So hopefully that'll take care of some of the lack of size. And
yeah. Well, our teams here, that tends to be a problem with all the teams, and we usually find ways around it, so I'm pretty confident you'll be able to do that. So heading into the season, you've got a little tournament coming up. Is it like a Jamboree-style tournament?
I'm not quite sure. I'm just under the impression that it's more just an actual tournament.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that'll be a good opportunity to kind of see where things are at and see where we need some work and where things are working, and gives you an idea of where to go. Do you anticipate the things that you're probably going to struggle with? I mean, there's a lot of skill-wise, sometimes you can kind of tell that we're not quite where we need to be in one respect, or is there somewhere where your team's going to be strong?
Skill-wise, we're not too bad. It's more just trying to get everybody comfortable with the system that we're going to run this year as far as the defensive system, because the defensive system is going to play into our offense.
Okay, and another thing that always comes up with the sports here at Rogue River is JV. Now, do we have enough girls out, or are we going to have a JV program this year?
Yeah, we're going to have a JV. I think we have 23 girls, so we have a full varsity team, and then we're going to have a 9-10 person JV team. So,
well, that's good news. It's always nice to have, you know, an opportunity for all the girls to play, or plays depending on what sport it is. But also, it probably helps your varsity program that you get these girls in sooner to kind of teach them what you'll be doing when they make it up to the varsity level.
Yeah. So right now, and then like I was saying, that incoming freshman group, there's a number of girls there that are going to be good players once they get a little more experience to them.
Yeah, I know a few of those girls that have played together for a while. In fact, I've watched them play a little bit, like some of the YMCAs, or not YMCA, but Boys and Girls Club. And so they've been playing together a while. That definitely helps. And like we mentioned before, it helps when these girls have played together for a year or two to kind of get comfortable with one another. So is there anything else any other goals or things that you're looking forward to this season? Or is there a goal that maybe you've been on the wall for these girls to say, this is what we're shooting for?
We have a couple. Right now it's pretty early and kind of just looking at that one game at a time right now and just seeing week to week, are we meeting where we need to be for that week going into whatever game or tournament that's coming, and then kind of evaluating after that and seeing if we need to make any adjustments. And so right now it's just kind of taking it that one at a time.
Great. Well, we're happy to have you as the new head coach. We're looking forward to the season, and we'll definitely get you back in to talk some more as the season goes on. So thanks for joining us on Rogue Talk.
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, and I'm back on location at Rogue River Junior Senior High School, and joining me now is the new cross-country coach for the high school and for the junior high, Miss Jessica Kelleher. Welcome to Rogue Talk, Jessica.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, you've been a coach here before. Have you been a head coach before?
I was head coach last year for cross.
Okay, so you were. So, I wasn't sure. I didn't look back on that. I know JJ is always involved with track and field and cross country, and I knew you were. And Ron Haynes even, I think, has helped out. So, Well, we're happy to have you. And what, well, first of all, we lost one pretty good star on the cross country team, Rio Lopez. Who else did we have last year that may have graduated?
He was the only one. So we have a couple boys returning this year, Levi Purrier and Robert Buttram.
Okay. Yeah, and I've had a chance to talk to Levi a little bit. In fact, he was taking driver's training with my son, and I think he was really looking forward to another year of track and cross country. And what are the goals that you look for? I mean, you get every level of athlete, of course. You don't know, you know, what you're going to get as far as results on the track, but what do you look for in goals, for the personal goals of improving their times and improving maybe their techniques and whatever? What are those kinds of things you like to work on?
A lot of it is, you know, getting from point A to point B, so making sure that they can actually complete their race and be happy about it. We have a 5-boy team this year, which means we can score points. So what I'm really looking forward to this season is getting the boys working together, running close by each other, and encouraging each other to try their hardest throughout the whole race.
Yeah, that's great. It's always nice to be able to have something to measure that team chemistry and that team dynamic when you only have a couple of kids and you can't compete as a team per se, or you don't get points. It kind of feels more individual. So yeah, that's a really good thing. And how many girls do we have out this year?
I haven't heard of any girls looking for girls, so let me know if you're interested.
Well, there you go. There's our call to action. We need girls for the cross country team. Cross country for me was something I didn't know what it was. My dad ran cross country, but I didn't really know that. Senior year, I finally discovered track and field and ran distance. And when I found out what cross country was, it was too late. The season was over, and I would have run cross country forever. So I'm telling you, girls, get out and try it. It's a lot of fun. Even my daughter, who doesn't really care for distance running, she loves basketball, even did cross country, and it's great. So there's our call to action. So looking at this team, then, you have just the boys. Do you have to work with different styles? I know, like, recently in one of the soccer practices, they had a 2-mile run, and one of the boys snookered my son into kicking way too early, and then he ran out of gas and got tired. Do you have to work with different strategies based on what the strengths are of each individual?
Yeah, I mean, every practice we work on different parts of the running. So we do a lot of hills. That keeps our endurance up. It builds our muscle. We also work with a lot of track workouts, so we'll do a lot of speed work. That helps with the kicks at the end and keeping strong towards the end of a race. We have a lot of interval workouts, long runs. You know, everything's sort of building on a different strategy throughout that 3-mile race. So you use all of those through that 3 miles. So,
yeah. So you pick days then where you're maybe particularly looking at more shorter work, and other days where you're working on hills and distance. Yeah, that's great. So are there any goals you've set either in your mind or actually with the team that you've discussed with them for this season?
You know, I like to talk to them at the beginning of the year or beginning of the season to see where they want to be at the end of the season. Cross country is interesting because you can have a lot of personal goals as well as team goals, and knowing what your personal ones goals are to begin with is really important on getting seeing where your improvement is each race, because sometimes you have a bad race. But what I'm really looking forward to is them working as a team, encouraging each other, and just working hard to show the other schools that Rogue River's coming up. We're growing as a team and we're staying strong, so I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, that's great. And are there any, do you have any expectations for how well they can do points-wise in any given meet? I know we go against, you know, sometimes the level of competition is really high at one, maybe at one meet and different at another. Are there any expectations, or is this just we're going to put our best foot forward and build on what we do this year?
Yeah, we're at a lot of big meets, so we have a lot of schools maybe outside of our own district, so 3A, 4A, 5A. Big schools. So I'm not sure where we'll be, but I'm excited to see where we are at some of the smaller meets, and we have our own Chieftain invite, so we'll get on that course and we'll get working on some of those spots where the kids will get to know it really well. So.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's going to be all the time we've got for this interview. I'd love to get you on another time when we can talk about how things are going as the season progresses. And, of course, we'll probably see you again during track season. So thanks so much for joining us here on Rogue Talk.
Yeah, go Chieftains.
Go Chieftains.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge. The Bridge.
Hello, Kubo. What have you got planned for today?
Come on, this way.
Adventure can be found anywhere, but the best place to start is in the forest.
It's the most powerful magic there is.
Head outside to discover incredible animals.
Wow.
And beautiful plants that come together to create an unforgettable adventure. So grab your loved ones and explore a world of possibilities. Visit discovertheforest.org to find the closest forest or park to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Forest Service.
Faith Lutheran Church, Board of Mission Sale, Friday and Saturday, September 9th and 10th from 9 to 3. For sales, all kinds of household items such as clothes, holiday decor, books, plants, and a few other things as well. There'll also be homemade baked goods and a delicious lunch at a reasonable price. This only happens once a year, and it's at Faith Lutheran Church, Friday and Saturday, 9th and 10th from 9 to 3. All proceeds support the mission of the gospel.
Back to Rogue Talk. I'm now joined in the studio by my special guest today, Mr. Christian Reyes. Welcome to Rogue Talk.
Appreciate it, Sarah. I appreciate you allowing me on the show today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm excited to have you here. I haven't talked to you in a long time, and we didn't know each other too well. I was at a lot of your sporting events when you were in high school. In fact, I think I was running the scoreboard when you were playing basketball.
Yes,
so
sir, yeah. I remember.
You and your sister both, so I remember that. So I haven't seen you play football live in quite a few years, so we'll go back to what I remember. Your senior season, I believe you rushed for over 2,000 yards that season. Is that right?
Yeah, that is right. I think it was right around like 2,100 yards. Maybe just right under that. So it was a pretty good year.
So that was a good year. And, you know, there was a lot of excitement around Rogue River when you were playing, and the stands were always full. Everyone wanted to see you play. So let's kind of, before we get to college and what you've been doing since then, yeah, why don't you tell everybody, for people that don't know you, tell me a little about yourself and about your family.
Okay. Yeah, so I pretty much grew up in Rogue River my whole life, kind of moved here. Right around first grade, so I've been involved in Rogue River community for quite some time. I actually met my wife, who I've been married to for 4 years, at Rogue River High School. We got together my senior year, and we've been together ever since. I currently have a four-year-old son and another boy on the way that's coming in November, so that's kind of a little fast-forwarded, but I grew up in Rogue River. Played all sports all year round, whether it's soccer, football, baseball, basketball, run track relays to kind of help out the track team. So I was just kind of always active when I was a younger kid. I'm one of seven children in my family, so it was a pretty competitive family as well. Everyone played sports, so I've always been involved in sports, and football just grew into my passion. It started with baseball. I was a pretty active baseball player all year round. And kind of going into my junior year of high school, when I kind of started realizing after attending some off-season like combines for high school kids that, you know, my level of talent was pretty equal to, you know, these guys from higher level schools, essentially. And it was a little unknown to me because, you know, Rogue River is kind of a small town. The competition around here, you know, it's decent. You have a couple guys that are like really phenomenal, and then, you know, the level of competition essentially here in Southern Oregon is a little bit different than, you know, kind of the bigger cities. So when I got out, branched out on these combines and kind of went one-on-one with some of these guys from the bigger cities that were so-called big-name guys that you would read about all the time, you know, once I knew I was able to kind of play against those guys and beat them in one-on-one, all that type of stuff, that's when I kind of started falling in love with football. And I had a, you know, good junior season, good senior season, and that's kind of what made me choose football over all my other sports kind of heading into college. So,
Yeah, and I remember you were definitely, you were pretty good on the basketball court. I was pretty sure that you were leaning more toward football, but you were also a really good baseball player, too. So that kind of moves us to college. You were getting a fair amount of attention, especially for a kid coming out of Rogue River High School. And you ended up at a junior college, College of the Siskiyous. How did you make that decision?
Yeah, so coming out of college, you know, or especially like going to Rogue River High School, a lot of the coaches, I mean, I'm not saying anything against the coaches. They're phenomenal coaches. I learned a lot from them throughout my high school career. But very few of them knew about the recruiting process coming out of high school, so I didn't really have a good senior highlight tape put together. I only had 6 of the games recorded to kind of work off of for various reasons. And so coming out of high school, I didn't really know how the recruiting process worked. Like, I should have been sending my film out to all these schools. Like, I was naive to the sense that, like, I just kind of thought it happened. I mean, I reached out to a couple of schools, but not to the extent that I did once I was leaving Siskiyous, essentially, which I'll get to. But so it was kind of my fault. You know, I should have reached out for help as far as kind of recruitment out of high school. Maybe it would have been a little easier path for me instead of going JUCO. But I definitely don't regret going the junior college route. Out of high school, though, I mean, I had a lot of academic scholarships. You know, I was pretty decent in the classroom. I think I graduated high school with a 3.9. So I had some academic scholarships that would help, along with some like athletic scholarships. But none of it was a full ride. And back then I was kind of a little bit more egotistic. Like, no, I want to, you know, I didn't say a lot. I wasn't someone that, you know, really talked about my ability or, you know, wouldn't really try to come off as cocky. But inside I was like, all right, I really want a full ride. Like, I'm not trying to settle for like a D3, D2 school and get like partially paid for when I really thought, you know, I was capable of getting the full ride and playing at a Division I school. So that's what made me go the junior college route. So I had a couple like smaller school offers to play baseball and football, but I just kind of decided not to. One of the bigger offers that I did have was at Oregon State. They wanted me to play defense as a strong safety and then also be a dual sport with baseball. And so I didn't really dig deep into that because I was like passionate about being a running back. And once again, I was a little naive and just kind of, that's when my pride kind of played into it. Like, no, I want to play running back. So I didn't really pursue that. Looking back, you know, I could have got my foot in the door, started as a strong safety, and then maybe transitioned over into a running back position. But, I mean, it's all in the past. I'm not regretting that at all. So I ended up going to College of the Siskiyous down in Weed, California, and I definitely don't regret it. I learned a ton from Coach Charlie Roach, who's the head coach down there. I mean, he was extremely knowledgeable and knew a lot about running, especially with when it came to running backs. So I went down there in 2011, played behind a guy named Taylor Cox, who ended up going to Kansas that year, and I learned a lot from him as well. He was extremely talented running back. And then, you know, my time kind of came my sophomore year. I had quite a bit of yards my freshman year for the amount of carries I had. But my sophomore year, you know, I broke quite a few school records. I'm not trying to...
No, I remember following along. In fact, you know, I remember your sister Jordan from Rogue River High School, and so I friended her on Facebook partially because I hadn't seen her on there yet, except she had shared something about your play at College of the Siskiyous. So I sent her a friend request, and I've been kind of been able to follow you a little easier ever since. You know, record breaking there. And so then it's time to transfer to a university. Mm-hmm. And you end up halfway across the country. Yeah. And so how did you make that decision? That was a program I know that was they were on the upswing, but they were rebuilding for sure. Is, you know, and I'm sure that had something to do with your decision, but how do you end up at Charleston Southern?
Yeah, so just to kind of touch on the Siskiyous part, I was a mid-year transfer, which is not something that happens all the time for junior college guys. A lot of guys that go to junior college, they're extremely talented, have a Division I offer or a full ride, and academically they can't take the scholarship, so they have to go to junior college. That's why the competition at junior college is, you know, it's pretty good. So playing there, I was a guy with good grades coming out of high school, so I was allowed to transfer mid-year, which meant I was only there for a year and a half. So after my sophomore season, I didn't stay there for the spring term, so I was able to transfer out of there in December of 2012. So I had a pretty good season at Siskiyou's, rushing for like 1,900 yards, somewhere around there. And I thought I was like, I thought I was going to go SEC conference type of thing. A guy that I was second in the nation coming out of junior college for running back. So in my mind, I was like, oh, I'm going to go like SEC, like big time school. Because the guy was number one, I was like 100 yards away from him, and he ended up signing to LSU. His name was Curtis Artis Payne. I think he's playing for, I don't remember which team in the NFL now, but so I was kind of expecting that. Kind of just didn't play out in my favor, and
No bitterness.
Yeah, no bitterness. I mean, everyone has a plan. So Charleston Southern was a kind of out of left field type of thing. So coach kind of showed up on campus. I had a few offers like Portland State, Sacramento State, Montana, Indiana, a few schools like that. I was kind of talking with kind of some bigger schools, but a lot of them just weren't ready to pull the trigger type of thing for whatever reason. So when Charleston Southern came, I was on a break, and I don't know, I was just walking, and my head coach like called me over and was like, hey, this school is here out of nowhere to kind of meet with you. So I go into the meeting, found out they're a Christian school, which my wife and I are both Christians. At the time, I wasn't a very strong Christian at the time. So like, you know, it's kind of more of my wife's thing, but I understood the faith and kind of grew up in and out of it type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of intrigued me a little bit. But they were not on the upswing of anything, actually.
Okay, so I got some bad information there.
So the 2 years before I got there, they went 0-11.
Wow.
The year before I got there, they won like 3 games. And so I ended up signing to the head coach at the time. His name was Coach Jay Mills. And I really don't know what made me sign there altogether. Like, you know, I wanted to go somewhere where there's winning, all that type of stuff.
But sure.
I decided to take the visit, so I, you know, went out there kind of in November to kind of check out the school. I connected with a guy named David Padilla. He's the head of football operations there right now. Mm-hmm. And he was a West Coast guy, and he like extremely mentored me, and like we were able to connect. So he probably played a big role in me deciding to go there, because the other visits I took, it was kind of, they were more focused on me, like on the football field, not necessarily taking care of my family, off the field type of thing. And that being a Christian school, and then on the visit, like them solely being focused on like, you know, you guys will have this much money to pay for your housing, or you'll have this much money for food, all that type of stuff. So that played a huge role. And that's ultimately like what made me choose Charleston Southern. I kind of pushed their record to the side, their winning history, all that type of stuff, because it was pretty bad. So I transferred there mid-year, and
I think they call that faith.
Yeah, seriously. Yep, exactly. And I transferred there, and come to find out, the day before I'm supposed to fly out to move to South Carolina, which was in Charleston, South Carolina, so it's all the way across country. The head coach resigns. So Coach Mills resigns. And I
sounds kind of like the Rudy story.
Yeah, seriously. And I actually didn't tell my wife until I was there, and just kind of filling it out, because she's pretty stressed out about moving across the country. Our son was probably like 1 year old at the time, not even that. And so she was a little stressed out. I didn't want to stress her out. And it was one of those things, like, I feel like I already signed. I could have, you know, backed out and went to a different school, but it was for whatever reason, I was like, just go for it, whatever. And so I go over there, and for a month we didn't have a head coach, just working out the team, you know, connecting with the guys. And then Coach Chadwell, who's been there for the past this is his fourth season, I believe.
Uh-huh.
And he's done a phenomenal job. We didn't really start off on the right foot together, because not for any like character reasons or anything like that, but in his offensive scheme, I necessarily wasn't an ideal back that fit his offensive scheme, essentially. So before he even saw me on the field type of thing, he was trying to release me in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't fit his certain criteria. So I I ended up playing that spring with them and completely changing his mind. So, like, before he ever saw me run anything like that, like, right when he signed, he's like, all right, is there any way we can get this dude a scholarship somewhere else? You know, that type of thing. Which, at the time, I was a little bitter about, like, dang, like, I just signed here. Like, I thought you'd be, like, you know, excited. Like,
this guy's already trying to get rid of me.
Yeah, in my mind, like, ego-wise, I'm like, I just rushed for, like, 1,900 yards. Like, are you not, like, even excited at all type of thing? But now looking back, like, I kind of understand, because, you know, if you look at me compared to the running backs they have there now that they recruited when I was there, like, I mean, I'm just kind of a bigger setback. Like, I'm more of a, you know, like a power eye type running back. So
okay,
they were a triple option team, but I, you know, I was athletic enough to fit right in and earn the starting position. So it worked out in my favor, essentially, sticking it out, and, you know, grew a ton of relationships with a lot of guys. You know, met a ton of people, and it's, you know, something I'm never going to forget, essentially. You know, I still talk to a lot of those guys every day. I mean, they, I don't know if you watched the game, but they just played North Dakota State. They're the only game on this past weekend.
I did watch a little bit of it, yeah.
They ended up losing, which broke my heart, but they...
mainly because I knew that that was your team. Yeah. That was the main interest for me.
Yeah, yeah. They missed the last second field goal that... they're like, I don't know, like 30, 40 yards out. And the kicker, no fault to him. I understand how much pressure they go through. So, but he missed it to the left, and then they ended up going into overtime. And who they're playing, which was North Dakota, they're the number one team in the FCS. So it was a big matchup. And it was, I mean, essentially they still put CSU on the map. So they should have won.
Yeah.
They didn't.
Yeah.
They ended up losing in overtime. So for whatever reason, they didn't win. But I mean, I think they will essentially match up with either them or, you know, be in the national championship is what I'm assuming this year. So
yeah, it looked like they had a pretty good trio of running backs, even with you gone. It looks like at running back they're still pretty strong.
Yeah.
So your career at Charleston Southern was pretty good. You did you break any records there?
Yeah, I broke a few records. I'm not normally a guy that kind of like talk about my resume.
That's okay. Records, I'm asking.
Yeah. So I ended up breaking like the single season rushing record, and then I also broke like the all time rushing record for the school, which I did in 2 years. Other guys, you know, they have 4 years to break it type of thing. So kind of helped. I kind of got in there, and, you know, it was pretty hard to, like, compete for the starting job, especially because, you know, I was kind of going in there as, like, the stepchild type of thing. those guys have been there for a while, and I just, I don't know. I went through a lot. I mean, I had a lot of, not necessarily injuries, but a lot of things that a lot of guys would sit out for in practice, and I was just like, let's just tape it up and freaking go to practice type of thing.
So yeah.
I worked through a lot and ended up paying off, and I had a, you know, I hate to say it out loud, but I probably had a better, I mean, I know it's the truth, I had a better junior season than I did my senior season, so
sure.
I carried the ball a lot my junior year and had a lot of, you know, took a lot of hits, and part of the reason, you know, I kind of dropped off a little bit my senior year. Like, I just never fully recovered. I had a pretty bad shoulder injury that, you know, I still feel today type of thing. So, like, my body just couldn't catch up to itself because, you know, when you get to that level, it's like all year round you're playing football with spring ball and, like, off-season training and all that type of stuff. So it was really hard to kind of recover and bounce back from my senior season. I mean, I played a full season still, but I just essentially kind of wasn't the same back as I was my junior year. Wish I kind of would have gave myself a little bit more time, a little bit more rest to kind of rest up for the senior year. But yeah, so.
Well, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but if you can stay over for one more segment, I'd like to get a little farther into your story here, and we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. You're listening to Rogue Talk.
You're listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio, take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE superstar Alberto Del Rio. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We are live outside the home of Joe and Rosie Goddard, where a pretty big tickle fight broke out just minutes ago. Sources say their father instigated the laughter. Let's go inside for a comment. Apparently, they have no comment. Dads, let this be a reminder that it only takes a moment to make a moment. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Rogue Talk, and we're talking to Christian Reyes, Rogue River High School alum, and we just finished talking about most of his college career. And I'd like to move now, Christian, to coming out of college. You'd broken a bunch of records, as we talked about.
Yep.
You know, one of the best running backs in the FCS, and you have some dreams of playing the NFL. And so you did get to participate, I believe, in a combine, but yeah. You had a little adversity going into that. Why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, so coming out of college, I had a pro day lined up. I ended up signing with an agent. The name, I guess, doesn't really matter because probably no one will know him over here. But he was kind of a guy I was surprised that wanted to represent me. Essentially, he had a couple of big-name guys. And I was truly grateful that he wanted to be my agent. So I ended up signing with him, and he recommended that I just focus on one workout, and that was the pro day, which every senior coming out of college has a pro day. And so I had a pro day set for, I don't remember the date, but it was at Coastal Carolina, which is kind of one of our rival schools that were in our conference, but they're kind of the powerhouse in our conference at the time.
Sure, kind of the Cascade Christian.
Yep. Yeah, until this last year, and we've been beating them. So, but yeah, so I went up there and, you know, had a pretty good workout, and I ended up pulling my hamstring on one of the 40s that I was running, so... It was pretty rough. It kind of started on the 40, and then I kind of finished it off when we were running a bunch of like routes. You know, the scouts were watching us catch the ball, that type of stuff. And it was on a wheel route, and I pulled it pretty bad. That kind of like put me out for essentially 3 months of like actually being able to work out and all that type of stuff. So it made me miss a couple workouts that my agent had lined up for me with the Broncos and the Jets. And so that kind of made me miss those workouts along with some CFL workouts that I had. And at the time, I was like, all right, we'll just try to get healthy as fast as possible. And then, you know, I should be able, in my mind, I was like, all right, I should be able to get at least a workout to kind of get a look to, you know, essentially get picked up on one of these teams, whether it's NFL or CFL. And it just, you know, even though I thought it was going to happen over time, you know, I was putting in all this work, reaching out to new contacts, new connections, having my agent work for me. In the process, ended up switching agents because, like I said, he's kind of a big name guy. He just started focusing on the guys that were already in the NFL.
The guys were getting the attention, and you weren't because you had been injured.
Yep.
So, yeah,
and
sure.
So I ended up having to switch my agent, which I'm truly grateful for because he works extremely hard. And, but all the doors I was knocking on essentially just haven't been able to open yet. I'm at a point where, you know, I'm still, if I got a call today, I would definitely still go.
Sure.
And in my mind, I think I would, you know, definitely open some eyes. I just haven't been able to actually get into a workout since this summer of 2015 coming out. And it's just been an uphill battle ever since type of thing. So, I mean, I try to stay as ready as possible for, you know, that miracle call.
And I've seen some of your workouts, so I can assure everybody listening that he tries to stay ready.
Yeah.
This guy is a beast in the gym for sure.
I appreciate it.
Well, and let's kind of move to that. You know, you've been helping out with the high school team this season, preseason, with the conditioning. What kinds of things have you been able to bring to that team that they probably wouldn't have been doing had you not showed up?
Yep. No, I definitely commend the high school team. So I started really kind of committing to them this summer and their summer conditioning program. And before, like, the first year I moved back in 2015, I was kind of like, in my mind, I was like, all right, I'm getting picked up. I don't really want to get plugged in anywhere. you know, so I didn't want to have to leave whatever I was involved in.
Sure.
I kind of put that on hold, but this year, you know, realizing that, hey, maybe it won't happen type of thing, I kind of plugged in a little bit more and really wanted to help them with their strength and conditioning because, you know, being a Rogue River guy, I know it's been something that's been, you know, lacked essentially as far as program-wise. Strength and conditioning for who knows how long.
I think for all the sports, it's been lacking, sure.
Definitely. And I'm not going to lie, I murdered those guys every day I had them. And I didn't take it lightly on them, and they definitely respect me because of it. And, you know, I wasn't, like, mean to them in any way or...
You're not really much of a drill sergeant, but...
But I...
Quiet strength, I think, is...
I just know I took a lot of what we did at my school at Charleston Southern, which Coach Scott, his name's Chad Scott, he's probably one of the best strength coaches in the country, and I was blessed to, you know, be able to learn from him. I took a lot of what we did over the summer, you know, maybe dialed it down a little bit. I mean, some of the workouts were the exact same. But other days, maybe dialed it back just a little bit. But, I mean, essentially straight from a Division I college is what they got. And
yeah, and the reports I was getting, the kids were getting beat down pretty good, and the parents were happy about it. So that's a good sign, I think, for a football program.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's great. And I think, you know, part of that probably showed this last week in the Jamboree. And, of course, today we have the first game of the season, and we'll see how they do tonight. But the Jamboree, they apparently, and I didn't get a chance to get out there, but from all the people I've been able to talk to, they made a really great showing, and I'm sure that conditioning's got a big part of that.
Definitely. A lot of it is, like, you know, mental toughness type of thing. So when I first started working with them, like, they're looking at me like deer in the headlights, like, are you crazy? Like, we're still going, or we got, like, some days I would tell them exactly what we had and they'd be like, oh my gosh, there's no way. Or some days I wouldn't tell them and they would still see me just blowing the whistle. They keep trying to look up at me like, when are we going to stop, or another sprint, all that type of stuff. So a lot of it was just a mental game. And, you know, that's the same for any program I've been a part of. You know, at Siskiyou's, kind of a turnaround program. My senior or my sophomore year there, we went from just kind of an average 5-5 team to winning 10 games that year and winning our first bowl game in a while. Going to Charleston Southern, we went from an 0-11 team, 3-8 team to 10 wins and 3 losses that year, and completely turned the program around. This year after that, I believe we won like 9 games, 8 games, somewhere in there. We lost a couple games that we definitely shouldn't have. And then now the program's, you know, not this season, but last season, they're in the FCS playoffs for the first time. Now they're probably going to make another playoff run. So I've been involved in kind of, you know, changing programs around.
Sure.
You know, kind of being one of the guys in it, kind of suffering through the workouts. But I knew, you know, I couldn't take it lightly on them coming here just because essentially they're a high school team. I know there's plenty of high schools out there that work just as hard. And if you want to be, you know, one of the top high schools, you have to do, you know, workouts and strength and conditioning that a lot of schools aren't willing to do. Or, you know, maybe they don't know how to do it, but it's just really about making those guys mentally tough, you know, being able to push their boundaries and realize, you know, I can finish through everything type of thing.
So. Sure.
Yep.
So we're getting toward the end of the interview here, but I wanted to touch on, well, let's go back just for a second too. Now you're shot at the NFL.
Yep.
You mentioned you're obviously still open to that. Is that still something that you're pursuing on some level, or where does that stand?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely, that's not a closed door. I'll keep it short, but I was going to go play in this league called Major League Football. That was like a developmental league for the NFL that was supposed to kick off this year. And that was another thing, like 2 days before everyone was supposed to fly out to camp, they ended up sending out a letter saying they're not going to kick it off till 2017. So that might be relevant next year. I'm in a position, like, I don't know if I'll put my family through that type of thing.
The window's starting to close a little for you,
And, you know, I'm a realist, and I know, you know, eventually being 2 years out, it's a lot harder, you know, to get in. But it doesn't mean I'm not ready. I mean, I talk to my agent, you know, we kind of check in with each other all the time. So if he's got something new for me, I'm open to hear it. You know, I know he's trying to get me a workout still, all that type of stuff. So I'm at the point where, you know, even though I don't want guys to get hurt, I have to hope guys kind of get hurt. So it kind of, you know, leaves a spot open to bring guys in. So.
Well, and that's the reality of professional or sports at any level, really. Yeah. But professional sports is guys get hurt. But I definitely would think that there's still a lot of hope for you. I've seen what you can do. And the if you think of some of the running backs that have made it in the NFL, I think there's guys that, you know, on paper that you probably are better than. Yeah. So there's always that opportunity. It's just getting that right break and, yeah, and showing them what you can do. So hopefully that works out for you. But if it doesn't, one thing I've learned about you in the last few months, kind of digging into this, getting ready for this interview, you know, you're going to succeed at whatever it is you go after, but you have a tenacity that a lot of people don't have, and it seems to serve you well. So I think you'll do great things. You know,
appreciate
we mentioned
that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'm impressed. And one more thing here, let's kind of go back to the family thing. I had mentioned, you know, of course I remember your sister. In fact, I'm her biggest fan. I just thought she was just the funnest kid to watch play sports. She just had this infectious attitude, you know. There was, you know, just happy and just a fun to watch her play. So I'm her biggest fan. But how has your family affected you? Are there any, you know, anyone in your family that you've kind of been able to learn from or to feed off of that has given you that kind of, you know, never quit spirit that you have?
Yeah, that's probably something I could talk about forever, because I've learned a ton. I'm a guy that, you know, observes, and, you know, I learned good and bad, because you learn from good and bad, you know, from different people. So I've learned what not to do from, you know, people in my family having mess ups and, you know, getting in trouble for it or whatever. So I've learned what not to do, and I've also learned what to do from people that, you know, I kind of look up to as far as kind of like certain character values, all that type of stuff that I want to, you know, essentially be like. So, you know, I probably could list hundreds of guys that have
sure
affected me. But a couple mentors off the top of my head, just finishing up in Charleston Southern, that guy, David Padilla, you know, he's like an ideal Christian man that I would, you know, love to be like one day type of thing. He's honestly, he gets taken advantage of quite a bit, and he serves everyone. You know, all he does is give, and he doesn't ask anything in return type of thing. So he's definitely someone that has affected myself, and I know thousands of other people, you know, so I'm truly grateful for him. He's more of someone who's more recent than some of the guys in the past, but people
sure
have definitely helped mold me into kind of, you know, the way I carry myself and why, like, I finish through whatever I'm doing. And so just kind of touch on that. Like, I'm just someone who believes in, you know, no matter what I'm in, I just try to pursue excellence. So it doesn't, you know, I don't look at my situation and kind of be like, you know, feel sorry for myself because I'm not where I want to be.
Sure.
I'm just someone who looks at the situation. I'm here. I got a family to provide for. Whatever I'm doing, like right now, I'm selling insurance at Insurance Lounge. So if you need insurance, come, you know, contact me type of thing. So.
Absolutely. And I've done business in the past with Insurance Lounge, actually before they were called Insurance Lounge. And yeah, they're good people there, and they're lucky to have you there. So yeah, if you guys, you need a quote, get a hold of Christian. And if you don't know how to get a hold of them, you can get a hold of me here at Rogue Talk, and I'll get you hooked up with Christian.
Yep.
So, well, that's great. We're gonna run out of time here, but I'm so thankful you would come in and be on the show. And I think you're a great example for these high school kids. And maybe we'll get you back on during some of these broadcasts of the games, because I'd love to get your perspective on how the season goes along. And I know you'll be at some of the games, so
yep,
we'll try and drag you up to the booth and get you in for some analysis maybe. So thanks again for coming in.
Yeah, sounds good. I definitely appreciate you having me. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. I hope you guys stay tuned. I really think this year, as far as Rogue River, is going to be a turnaround season for the football team. So,
yeah, we saw a lot of good stuff last season, and I think it's going to start to really blossom this season with the kids maturing one more year and getting some great conditioning. So thanks again. Thanks for joining me here today, Christian.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Wow, what a great story Christian has, and I'm sure you guys all enjoyed that as much as I did. And, well, Christian and I both need to head out of here pretty quick. We're both heading to Myrtle Point tonight for Chieftain football. Christian will be on the Chieftain sideline, and I will be joined by Pastor Evan Gigline in the radio booth when the Bridge brings you Chieftain football. We'll be on the air at 6:50 with kickoff at 7 p.m. So join us tonight on 94.3 The Bridge for Chieftain football. And we'll take a quick look here at the schedule of sports for next week. Wednesday the 7th, the Rogue River Chieftain volleyball team will host Chiloquin. That game will kick off at 6:15. And also on Wednesday night, the boys' soccer team will travel to Lakeview for a 4:30 game. Then again on Thursday, another volleyball contest at Rogue River at James Martin Court at 6:15. They'll be taking on the Gold Beach Panthers. And then we'll talk about it again next week, but then the football team will head on the road again to Bandon on Saturday of next week. So there's your schedule for Rogue River Chieftain sports for this next upcoming week. And so I'm going to get ready to get out of here and head off to football for tonight. And so that's all the time we've got for today. So once again, be good to one another, because Rogue Talk is over.
You've been listening to Rogue Talk on 94.3 The Bridge.
Listen to Rogue Talk with Jeff Smith Fridays at 3 p.m. right here on Rogue River's Hometown Voice.
94.3 The Bridge.
Or on demand at 943thebridge.com.